The following podcast of The Blitz is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, and you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right. Deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code BLITZ101.
I was upset about the play. Of course, you don't want to jump outside in that situation. Made a mistake. I don't know. It happened. I'm past it.
And here we go.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome into The Blitz. Those smooth, dulcet tones you usually hear from Fred Power not existent today.
They are. They're just in the great white north.
Yeah, that's true. They do exist, but not to the ears of the ones who I'm speaking to now. They get the...
I didn't mean to say it like that, by the way. I know that's cackling. Insensitive. The great white north. I know, like, that's coined by
white,
my
huh?
people. I know.
It's got to be white, right?
Yeah.
There's no great black north.
I know. I've always noticed that.
There's big black.
Yeah.
South.
Yeah.
The dirty black
the
south.
The dirty south.
It's got to be dirty. It's beautiful white. Yeah. That's how y'all do.
Yeah.
We're used to it.
You know, I carry around so much white guilt, Jerome. You know me. I always, every time I see you, I apologize.
You know what? And I appreciate that. You need to carry around more.
You think more? Oh, my.
No, speaking for us, for my people.
Okay.
We want more. I'll tell you what. I can handle all of your white guilt. Just give me some cash, reparations, and then you'll be done with it. You don't have to carry it around. Pay it off. Pay off the debt.
Okay. That's a better idea.
Reparations.
I'm going to start a payment plan.
We're not going to get the whole, you know, country involved. We can't get the government to act right, and we can't get America to do what they got to do. I'm suggesting to black people, just go to one guilty white person, and let's take it out one at a time.
What if we said, we'll give you 40 acres and a mule, but it has to be in Alaska, in the Great White North?
Now you'll put stipulations on it.
It's like
you didn't let us pick cotton in Southern California where the weather was perfect.
You remember where my people?
Was there any cotton picking going on in San Diego?
No, none.
It's all in Mississippi.
That's right.
Alabama,
North Carolina,
Georgia.
That's right.
Texas. No, you don't get to choose.
I mean, listen,
give me 40 acres and a mule, like I said, in Southern California or Northern California.
Oh, you get to choose?
Or Florida. Well, some places in Florida, certain areas of Florida. Yeah.
I got bad news. My people didn't let the Native Americans choose where we put them.
No, you did not. You ran them into a certain spot.
Yeah, that's. The best I can do is some Alaska 40 acres.
Yeah, drop me. Go ahead.
All right, you'll
take
it. You
can get 40 on the side of a mountain. It won't even hold snow. It's such an unbalanced land. I see how you do. Welcome into the Blitz.
Mind you, I'm not the decision maker for the whites.
But you, for you, though.
I'm not even close to it.
I'm trying to make you feel better for you and your people.
Oh, okay.
You can be the spokesman for the whites?
No, they won't have me.
I will.
We have a spokesman. He's the president.
Then y'all need to do better.
Well, actually, technically, it's Sarah Huckabee Sanders because she's the
spokesman for the
spokesman. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, or spokesperson. Yeah. Sorry, you have to be politically correct right. these days.
Yeah, how dare you?
We don't want to mess it up and make me seem like we're saying she looks like a man.
Yeah, you're accusing her of having had a sex change at some point. No one would say that.
Yeah, people would say that. It wouldn't be right.
It wouldn't be right. You're right. It
would not be right. She's born who she is. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And catch us all over social media at Degenerates975 on Twitter, at AJ is the real. I'm at Jerome Solomon. The man running everything in the house is my name, Jong. And you can text us, 713-780-3776. You want to call in? Do that. Join us on the HRNP listener line at 713-780-3776. The Rockets with a big win last night.
Yeah.
That deserves a little bit of discussion, I would assume, you know, since they don't win that often.
Yeah, it's a party.
You got to give them a couple of minutes when they do pull one off. But boy, it was not a great start for them at all. They were getting smoked. And it's weird. Statistically, they have the worst bench in the NBA, scoring the fewest points. So they take their highest scoring bench player, put him into the starting lineup. And the bench shows up for the first time.
And it's great success. Yeah, it's so hard in the NBA to take a one game sample and really take anything out of it.
Right.
But it's better than losing. We can agree with that. I don't know that one win against the what's Portland, probably about the 8 seed.
Yeah, they're in the hunt. They're in the middle of everything. I was going to say they're ahead of the Rockets, but so is everyone.
Yeah,
basically. It wasn't such an impressive performance that you go, wow, okay, now this is the team you're supposed to be.
Right.
It's just much more of they're so desperate that they need any win that they can get, any way they can get them, and they need to start putting some together. And their schedule is going to get a lot tougher here coming up. I mean, the Lakers coming in tomorrow, but before the end of the year here, I mean, they'll get the Thunder, they'll get Golden State. So they've got some teams coming up, San Antonio.
Have you noted that the Western Conference, the teams that everyone for years has been saying, these teams are the young up-and-coming teams that are going to be there? Utah, Minnesota, New Orleans, they're all on the outside of the playoff hunt right now.
Yeah, well,
and every year there's hype around those teams.
Well, that's kind of what makes the Rockets thing so weird. This is not a team where you go, okay, they were young and, you know, they're up and coming. No, they weren't up and coming. They
were there.
That would have gone off poorly if I'd completed that. They were there.
Right.
They weren't trying to get there. They'd gotten there, and it's more about maintaining. You know, with the other teams, you're like, well, what can they be? Like, even right now, people are like, man, the Mavericks, really? They got something going. It wouldn't shock me if they didn't keep it going this year.
No.
It wouldn't shock me if next year they're back to...
Mavericks have like one good player.
Right. It's like whoop-de-darn-doo. I mean, and that's... The Rockets were not that. So their drop-off is different. And even when the playoffs came around, it's like, what are people talking about? Utah is not even close to the Rockets. They're not, they're not comparable. Now, Minnesota, not comparable to the Rockets last year. So those teams like that, they're going to go up and down. I do like what Denver does, but they don't have stars. And if you don't have superstar or two or three, you're going to run into a little trouble.
Same with Memphis, I assume. I mean, it's
pretty
just,
much.
Yeah, it's hard to. But then when you look at, you know, I mean, Anthony Davis, you could argue, If you take LeBron James out of the conversation, hell, if you keep him in, you could argue right now maybe the best player in the league.
Right.
His team's nowhere near the playoffs.
Yeah, but it's also one of those too. This is why Chris Paul said what he said last week when he said that as poorly as the Rockets have played, I still don't see a bunch of teams beating us four times out of seven in the playoff series.
Right.
And that's the difference. Those teams that are above New Orleans in the playoffs, some of those teams you got, and you're like, yeah, those younger teams, they're probably better. But he can win a couple of games by himself.
Right.
And that's what makes the superstar so important. It's how the playoffs break down and how the games are played. It's just a different world. I saw a thing earlier today from it was a gambling breakdown, and it was about how college football, the underdogs in bowl games are so much more successful than the underdogs in the regular season.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, because the underdogs in bowl games are bowl teams. They've won at least six games. Doesn't make them all great teams. But,
right.
But during the regular season, you talk every game, you got a bunch of teams that are going to win 0, 1, 2, 3. These teams are not going to pull off many upsets. So that statistical thing is, it doesn't mean what it means.
Well, you have to keep in mind also in the bowl games, every time this bowl team is, I mean, every team that an underdog plays in the bowl game is a bowl team as well. So they're not.
Right. Yeah, but the teams that don't make bowl games, almost every game they play, they're an underdog.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, they're not winning many games against anybody. That's true. They're not favored against hardly anybody. So those underdog numbers are skewed in that way. And yeah, I mean, for someone like you, and I guess is this What Are the Odds Wednesday? Someone like you who really evaluates all of that, yeah, underdogs do better in the postseason, but that doesn't mean they do better. They do better statistically, but I think if you break it down to underdogs of teams that are going to win six games, they probably do as well in the regular season as they do in bowl games. And as we talked about yesterday, we know bowl games, there are a whole lot of other factors that come into it as well. Motivation and excitement of being there, et cetera. Did you see the clip from the coach at Temple? I believe they're playing in I know we're all breaking down every bowl game, but playing in Shreveport.
Okay.
And he's just so he's excited about.
He's an interim coach, right?
Yeah, he's an interim guy.
Yeah,
he was down there because they all of these little small bowls bring the coach in a few weeks before the game for a luncheon or something to hype up the game.
Yeah, he's fired up.
And man, he was just like, we can't wait. Our guys are going to be the most excited team, the best team to ever come down here and meet these young men, et cetera, et cetera. So they're probably going to show up ready to play.
You would think
they don't get to go to bowl games often.
Anymore. Although, I mean, it's possible that he's excited and his players aren't.
I mean, this is his shot.
Yeah, he's like, man, if I lose this, you know, chances are good I'm probably not back here next year. And by the way, I don't know for sure, but I think Temple's favored over Duke.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, that's another reason to be excited. You're playing Duke.
Yeah, that helps.
If you get Duke in a bowl game, you ought to be walking around like, we can do this.
You're playing Duke in football? Yeah, you feel good.
Yeah, we can make this happen. So, yeah, you don't have to be all meek and humble against the Duke Blue Devils in a football game. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And a lot on the table today that we can get into. When we come back, though, we'll get into the Astros. The baseball winter meetings are going along, and Jeff Luna says he's thrown his hat into a lot of rings. I'll run it by AJ to see
if I believe it or not.
Oh, see, I wouldn't even go if you believe it. Oh, okay. Go, who do you want to grab said hat?
Okay.
But now you're questioning the veracity of it. Of a
source?
Of a general manager.
My bad.
He's not even a source. He's on the record saying.
Damn, I'm sorry.
We're trying to get people. We want players all over the place. Sounds like AJ might not be buying it. We'll see when we come back. This is The Blitz.
This is ESPN 97.5 and SportsMap 94.1. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Welcome back into the show. Trying to get a little grub in my system because I haven't eaten all day. Been busy. And fortunately,
eat the healthiest food, too.
Well, that's a sandwich, you know?
And chips. And a Dr. Pepper.
Yeah, what, I'm supposed to eat it dry?
I mean, you could have had, you know.
I have water.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, Dr. Pepper for now. Fortunately, I'm not the kind of person where my appetite is affected by what others do.
That's good.
But I walked into the men's room here, you know, to do what people do in the men's room.
Oh.
What people do in our men's room here?
Well, that's my point. It's like...
You mean like pee on top of the urinal and throw poop on the wall?
You know, things are so... It's... The men's room activity is so limited that it's been numbered. There's a one.
A one and a two.
And a two. That's it. What number is man stands in above the sink washing poop off shoe for a half hour?
It was not a half what an number, hour.
Well, you were the entire
this
time
was
I
you?
Was in there.
It was me. It was about, you weren't in there for a half an hour. You were in there for like 2 minutes.
That felt like a half hour. Because, you know, I go in, he's washing. I come out, got to wash my hands while he's over there washing poop off shoes.
Oh, Chong.
And for the record, it was not mine.
Not your shoes?
No. Not my poop. I don't think I've told on the air that I got a puppy a couple weeks ago, and it's a pooping machine. It eats, and then 15 minutes later, it poops a lot. And then
that's why you
don't
take
have
them
your
out.
You don't have your wife out there scooping poop every day?
No. And I accidentally stepped on it and didn't know I stepped on it. So, and then I was like,
how far is the drive from home?
Yeah, how long before you figured out that you stepped in poop?
Not that long.
Like in the car ride, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And you just came on over, huh? And yeah. Then you walked through the lobby, walked onto the elevator, rode up to the fourth floor, walked to the men's room, and like, let me wash this off.
I tried to scrape it off in like the cement and the grass, and then it got to a point where most of it did come off.
So you were spreading the poop.
Yeah, most of it did come off, but a lot of grass and stuff got on it, so... I washed the grass and stuff off of it.
So gross, Jong.
So there's Jong dog poop, Jong puppy poop from here. I knew this. Man.
Yeah.
I knew it. And
you brought this on.
I did it to myself. Jong likes nothing more than that.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad I didn't see that. I would have probably yelled at Jong.
He deserved it. I mean, come on. Take the shoes off and just come in barefoot.
Jerome did one of these. He looked over. He goes, did you step in poop? He did a little sniff. And he goes,
like, why are you washing your shoes in the sink? People have to wash their hands there.
Yeah.
It was mostly grass.
There.
No one shaved there.
If it was mostly grass, you wouldn't have been there scrubbing on them.
No, but it was like in between the crevices.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. What do you think was holding them in the crevices?
Natural glue.
Like yeah. If I just put a piece of grass by my shoe, it doesn't just stick to it. There's got to be something there to meld it.
I didn't say I was proud of this moment.
But you did walk all the way in.
I did.
Think about that.
Does Mr. Gow know this? I wonder.
No.
He knows now.
He'd probably fire your ass.
He's got a poopy producer.
Yeah.
A poopy program director.
Disgusting.
You've never really had a nickname, have you?
Yeah, I have.
What was your nickname in like high school or grade school coming up?
I got Jungle a lot.
Jungle?
Yeah.
A little play off of Jong.
Yeah, he had Jungle fever back in the day.
I did.
when he was in high school. He only dated black chicks.
I've heard that.
So
I remember his first foray on Tinder.
Yeah, right. Trust me. Jong, I don't think Jung talked to a non-Asian person until he was like 20. And then one talked to him on accident, and he was like, wait, I can talk to you? What? Is this okay?
So anything else aside from Jungle?
No, not really.
Yeah.
You can call me Poop Master now.
It has to be involved with poop. 713-780-3776. Give us a new nickname for Poop Boy over here. It's time. You're a grown man. You should have a better nickname than Jungle. Did you call yourself that too, or that was just...
No. That was a given. It started off as a mean little thing because people said I look like Schmeagle. and then it turned into Jungle, and then it kind of Schmeagle. Stuck.
Hey, people, there are people now who don't know my name at all and call me Spider, and that started from me being small and a basketball player, and the older guys call me Mosquito, and they cut it to Skeeter. But then the next year when I came back, I think they forgot what they were calling me, so they just started calling me Spider. That's what happened.
And you didn't correct them?
I didn't prefer either one, but if I had a choice between Skeeter and Spider, Spider
was better.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't have a problem with it at all. I wasn't going to debate it, but yeah, Spider was much better than Skeeter.
You also didn't want to argue with The Undertaker, right?
Yeah, he please. Red?
You would have put the whoop on
Red,
him?
Red couldn't handle this.
Oh, please.
We were talking about Kyle Tucker yesterday. Red was like Kyle Tucker.
He couldn't put any weight on?
About 6 foot, 180 at best at the time. No, he was not feared before he became the Undertaker.
Did he choke slam you?
No, Jong, you knew the answer to that, and you still asked that question.
I would bet that Red, a.k.a. Mark Calloway, who is the Undertaker, I would bet he went throughout high school for sure, probably throughout middle school, junior high school, without ever having a fight.
You think so?
Yeah.
Was he just a really nice guy?
I don't recall one. Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a really nice guy. Yeah. He's a really nice guy and not intimidating and quite intimidated.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. He wasn't about to start anything. Mm. And, you know, you play basketball, you get into stuff. Little scuffles or...
He didn't go to the reunion, though, did he?
He didn't get any verbal debates. I don't know. I haven't been to one in a while.
Oh, okay.
He probably has. I don't know.
He's too famous.
Yeah, once you become...
If I was ever that famous, I would never go back and see my old friends.
Well, do you go to...
No.
You don't go to them now?
No.
Yeah, so I'm saying, like, what difference...
you're right.
But I didn't... But did you have a whole lot of friends in high school?
Yeah. I was a pretty well-liked kid, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
the ones that you liked, you kept in touch with.
Yeah, like I didn't maintain very many relationships from high school.
And you're in different states and stuff too.
And the ones that I did, I mean, I still talk to those people, and I don't need to, you know, sift through a bunch of people I don't care to see the people that I, you know, have interest in seeing.
And Jong, you had your high school friends were all in your wedding, right?
No, they were all like church friends. I didn't like high school.
John didn't have friends in high school. He was bullied.
I was bullied and a loner.
Why would they bully you?
He was like
just
the Undertaker.
Because you're a little bald guy?
No, I had hair in high school.
Oh, now I see why they would bully you.
Oh, no.
you with hair? Oh, yeah.
That's a mess.
And I couldn't even gain weight in high school. I was like 105.
You can't gain weight now.
105?
I was 105, 110 pounds in high school.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I'm like one.
God, you were built like a hot chick in high school.
Why didn't you pick up martial arts so you could defend yourself?
That would have been too stereotypical.
I did that in middle school.
You got to do that.
I did that in middle school.
You did? What?
But it wasn't really martial arts. It was, you know, taekwondo. So.
Well, that's an art.
Why didn't you continue to master it?
I didn't like it.
Because they hit you?
Because you had to lift your leg?
No. They didn't. Taekwondo, you don't really hit. If anything, if you're doing hitting, then you're in pads.
Have you thought about, like, now as an adult, like, it would be nice to have some sort of skills to protect yourself? It's a cold, hard world out there.
Yeah.
You don't think so?
Nah.
No need?
No, I'm okay.
I saw a movie about Bruce Lee within the last week that I hadn't seen before, and it was about this the famous fight that this famous street fight he had with a a Chinese master who had come to San Francisco and was upset with Bruce because Bruce was teaching Kung Fu or Wing Chun to Americans.
Uh-huh.
And it was the movie was pretty cool. It was actually pretty cool. I was somewhat familiar with the story, but not as much as I did once I saw the movie and started looking up and reading all the backstory to it. But yeah, this guy came to San Francisco, and he and Bruce had a no holds barred fight on the streets where they had a limited audience because just to prove what was up, and of course Bruce put it on him. But then there were competing stories about, you know, how badly did he actually win, and did the guy give up or not, and he didn't kill him or anything, but it was pretty fascinating.
My favorite are when those fake martial arts guys who like use energy to knock people down.
Yeah.
Like when they have a test subject who's not bought into it and he starts hitting him and the guy like, whoa.
I've never seen this before.
You've never seen that? Like, no. You've never seen the guys who are
like. In the movie where there's like, he'll just go like sparks that. Will come off of him or big flashes.
Like, the guys fly like back.
Like the Last Dragon.
You're talking about real life.
No, we're talking
though, right?
About movie. No, he's talking about movie.
No, I've seen it in real life. There's real people who sucker people into paying for this martial art.
I was assuming you were talking about the hot, you know, cinema.
No, I'm talking about real life. I'm talking about real life.
That's those people that fake the church thing.
Yeah.
Where the person roll up in a wheelchair and put the hands
on. And then the guy stands
and
up.
And he rises up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's not real.
It's not real. But it's always great when someone who's like not bought into the program is like, I'd like to learn about this. And then he just beats the hell out of the old man. It's like, oh, for some reason, my force isn't working on you.
You must be from the devil.
Yeah. Are you a Jedi? What do you know? All right, guys. I got to tell you about Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. It's the big finish event going on now out at Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram. They are your savings headquarters Monday through Friday and every Sunday. During the big finish, you can lease a 2018 Jeep Wrangler for $324 a month. That's Motor Trend's SUV of the year. If you're not looking for a Jeep, cool. They got the largest Ram inventory in the loop out there at Gulfgate. They've got a new state-of-the-art service center that's now open twice the size to service twice the vehicles by their certified technicians. Gulfgate Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram, 610 South Loop East and Gulf Freeway, always online at gulfgatedodge.com. Lease 2018 Jeep Wrangler, 39 monthly payments of $324, 10,000 miles per year. Must be financed through Ally. Acquisition fee and first payment due at signing. All prices plus TT&L. Must take from dealer inventory. See dealer for details. Good through 1-3-19.
Ago, they tried to put me in a box filled with crack rocks. But now I know what the true high, Jesus Christ. Now I know I'm not taking that box of rocks, Jesus Christ. That's what I want in my box. I don't want a box filled with rocks. I want a box filled with Jesus Christ.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
I got loyalty, got royalty inside my DNA. Quarter piece, got war and peace inside my DNA.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
No Fred Fowler. Jerome Solomon sub again. As you would imagine, I'm black.
So what?
So we've gone race here. Got one Asian man. We're going to talk about kung fu movies for 10 minutes. That's how you do, AJ. You don't do that when the white guy's over
here. Hey, Jong, who brought up the kung fu movie stuff?
713-780-ESPN is your number.
The black man.
Yeah.
At least I didn't say, my name's Jong.
You didn't do that.
Like you did the other day.
You can call me Master John.
Ain't call nobody Massa up in here.
How dare you suggest that to Jerome?
Oh, John. I'm sorry.
I'm offended. You know how easily offended I can be. Pay me. You got 40 acres, John? I'll take it from you.
I didn't take anything from you.
I know your people got here in the 70s. Who cares?
We got put into camps.
I'm pretty sure those were Japanese camps.
Oh, so y'all got to go to summer camp?
No, no, no.
Now, what do you mean we? You're Korean. There are no Korean camps.
No.
Don't tell people. They're Googling it now.
But. Yeah. It's a lie. Jong is culturally appropriating from Japanese.
Oh, man. We're off to a wonderful start. 713-780-ESPN.
Master Jong.
Master Jong Lee. You know, your name does sound like very...
What?
Very kung fu-ish.
Jong Lee?
Yeah. That's very karate-ish.
Yeah.
Very... You sound like a master. If you... You know what? You should do that.
What?
You should start introduce yourself to people and say, hi, I'm Master Jong Lee.
No, Fred calls me the master all the time.
I know, but I'm saying you should use it and people will respect you more. They'll back away because they'll think this little man is dangerous.
Like how... doctors get mad if you don't call them doctor.
Exactly.
Like when they say, Mr. Lee, you say,
That's master.
Master Lee.
You should do that.
Like it's your next dinner reservation. Put it under Master Jong Lee.
Or the next time David Gao has you in a professional setting and you meet some potential sponsor or client or something, he's like, and they go, this is Jong Lee. He's like, no, I'm Master Jong Lee.
What are you the master of, sir?
Nobody would ask that. That's offensive.
How dare anyone?
They better recognize.
Ancient art from my homeland.
No, no, no. When they go, hey, what are you the master of? I go, what the?
Or just kick him in the balls as hard as you can, right?
And nobody would say a word, John.
No, that's it.
They wouldn't even call the police on you. You're not black. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Jeff Luhnow is at the winter meetings in Las Vegas with everyone else involved in Major League Baseball, and he's talking a lot about the makeup of this year's team and what they're going to do. Did you see that Colin McHugh is going to enter spring training as a starter?
I saw that.
Returning back to the rotation.
Which basically means, we didn't really want to go out and get another starter.
I don't know if that's what it means, but that's certainly what made the Astros, one of the things that made the Astros such a good team is that
you had a
guy as good as him who couldn't crack your starting rotation. Well, so you're now where you are right now, and of course, we're in December. The games don't start till April, but you don't have Dallas Keuchel and you don't have Charlie Morton. And yeah, of course, they're free agents. And Luhnow says, we've talked to each of them, but odds are neither one of them will be back.
Well, the weird thing to me is Colin McHugh's had one fantastic season in his entire career. Mm-hmm. And it was the one season that he came out of the bullpen.
I'll say it wasn't as a starter.
Yeah, so I don't know why you mess with that. I mean, I guess he had 2015, he was pretty decent. 19-7, 3.89 ERA. But I don't understand why you mess with that formula. This guy's career ERA is 3.88. He was 1.8 points lower than that last year.
Which tells you that's where he belongs.
Right.
Or not where he belongs. That's where he's most effective, and it's a lot of low pressure situations.
Yeah,
not a lot of high leverage. He's not coming in the ninth inning trying to save games for you, but you know you can count on him. And especially in today's baseball, where they call Verlander a workhorse, and Verlander's coming out of the game in the fifth, sixth inning all season long. He barely gets to 200 innings. Like, that's not impressive at all.
And, the other guy who I'll throw in that same boat is Brad Peacock. Like, that's a guy who, at this point, I think you're probably better off with him in the bullpen than you are trying to make him a starting pitcher.
You don't want to give him the ball every 5 days and expect him to...
He's not that good.
Because you start guys like him and McHugh, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to go to your bullpen a lot.
Yeah.
But you can't bring those guys in because they're already started for you. So now you got to build up a bullpen. It's easier, not easier, but where they're sitting now in a league without a salary cap and a league where the Corey Klubers are available, you got to go get one of those guys. That's just the way it is.
Well, what the thing is, you can't let the guys that you've got just walk away and not do anything to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So when you tell me Charlie Morton and Dallas Keuchel are gone, mm-hmm. you can't just say, oh, well, we'll just figure it out with the guys we've got. I don't believe that. I mean, if you're going to continue to compete at that level, you need to have players. You need to bring back players who are that caliber of player.
And it's baseball, so it's easier. Like
it is.
Well, one, I would, and I'm biased because I really, really like the guy. I might overpay for Charlie Morton, even though I know.
Well, it's done now. He's done. He's signed.
He signed an hour ago. Oh, okay.
Yeah. He signed with the Tampa Bay Rays, 2-year contract.
Oh man, yeah. So I probably would have overpaid for him, but like I said, I know that wouldn't have made any sense.
And
Keuchel, you're not going to be able to get because other people offer more. But it's baseball. Whereas when people keep saying, "Well, you let Trevor Ariza go and Bamute go, and you didn't replace them with players that are the same."
Right.
It's harder to do. Name those players. It's not like Daryl Morey looked at 10 of those players and go, "Nah, I don't want any of y'all. You know, I know I can replace Trevor Ariza with a Trevor Ariza-like guy, but I don't want him." That wasn't the case. The salary cap and all the other situation you deal with. But in baseball, you can go out and replace guys with like guys. And how they perform is a whole different thing, but you can certainly do it a lot easier than you can in the NBA.
Yeah, you know, I don't know. I don't know what overpaying for Charlie Morton would have entailed. Mm-hmm. I think you can argue that you've underpaid Charlie Morton the last 2 years at $7 million per.
Right. Oh, yeah. Well, he outperformed that for sure. Yeah.
He got 2 years, $30 million from Tampa.
Ooh, that's $15 million a year. That's pretty steep. It's especially with the shoulder issue and et cetera. And I don't blame him for taking it. I'd have hurt my shoulder trying to get to the pen to sign that pretty quickly. Because $15 million, that's a lot.
It's a lot.
For him. Yeah. And it was 2 years. And the Astros wanted him for one more.
Yeah, I think that's a lower number. Yeah. But I think if Tampa, a team that's like, I mean, I guess they were pretty decent last year, but they're very much fringe contenders.
Yeah, this doesn't make them a contender or anything.
But if they're willing to pay, they're willing to pay 2 years, $30 million. Why shouldn't a team that's there?
And it's not my money, and there's no cap. So no, I would do it.
But if you
I'm not gonna dog them for not doing it. I would have done it because I really like the guy.
I'm saying if you got to pay $15 million a year for Charlie Morton, or screw up your bullpen, which was one of your great strengths last year, and move Colin McHugh to the starting rotation and then replace him with God knows what, I'd just pay the $15 million.
I'd much rather have Morton starting, and then when we get to June, I have to rest him a couple of starts in the rotation because I don't want to wear him out. And that was the thing last year. He pitched more innings than he'd ever pitched through a certain point in the season before they finally put him on the DL. And it's like, wait a minute, the guy's been around too long for this to be the year he stretches it out. But like I said, when he does get to that point, you would have Colin McHugh there.
Yeah.
He'd be able to do it. You won't have that now.
What do you think,
Dallas? They're hoping that Forrest Whitley will develop into that. But again, that may be a year off.
Right.
Even though they're gonna bring him into Major League camp.
If ever.
When camp starts. If ever is an automatic for any of them. But yeah, you're kind of expecting him to be not an if, but a when.
Yeah, but I mean, I think they think the same thing about Kyle Tucker. I also think that they like what they saw last year out of Josh James. They feel if that continues to progress, maybe you've got something there. But again, you're counting on guys who have, pitched what? How many games in the major leagues? Six games?
A handful. Yeah.
Six major league games. You're counting on him to fill a rotation spot. Like, that's typically not what contending teams do.
Developing teams, not...
Yeah. That's what teams like the Rays do. I can almost guarantee you the Red Sox won't have someone with six career major league appearances in their starting
unless
rotation.
He's a serious phenom.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And that, so, yeah, that's a good point. And we will see the measure of Jeff Luhnow and his staff's their breakdown and their scouting and their training and their full understanding how it develops long term. In the short term, and I say short term, you know, he's been there 6-7 years.
Yeah.
They've made so few mistakes that you don't really want to jump and start criticizing them yet. But if this doesn't work out, it will seem pretty obvious that
right.
that it wasn't worth taking the chance on. Because what's the upside? I mean, is Colin McHugh gonna contend for the Cy Young? No.
I don't think so.
He'll keep in the bullpen. I mean, he's not good. He's not such a good starter that you're like, man,
it seems like
we got to get him in the starting rotation. No, you're putting him in there because you don't have somebody else.
To me, it seems like it was a contingency plan. Like, okay, if we can't find a real starter out on the market, we'll just go with Colin McHugh. And the thing that worries me the most about that is when you're assuming what the rotation looks like next year, you're counting on Lance McCullers to be a part of it. Mm-hmm. And counting on Lance McCullers is like counting on Chris Paul. Like, sure, when he's around, it's great to have him. But you cannot count on that dude being around.
Might even be less than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because
Chris Paul's a veteran. It was like Jadeveon Clowney's first several years. Right. It's like, yeah. Dude, I mean,
now,
when this...
Now, once he's there, you're like,
when he's there,
okay,
it's great. And, man, this guy's something. But if you're looking for somebody you can pencil in for every fifth day... That ain't him. And that's where having guys like Colin McHugh, where it comes in handy. So if you're using Colin McHugh on one of those 5 days, well, when Lance McCullers Day comes up and he's out for the next month.
Now you're into another arm on the bullpen.
Yeah, now what? You're going, I mean, are you
How
pulling
many Colin McHugh
Brad
are you
going to
have on the team?
Chris Davinsky? I don't know what you're doing. Yeah. I mean, there was a time when they used Chris Davinsky as a starter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's just.
And this is one of those where, like I said, it seems questionable enough that it won't be hindsight when we go, well, we could have told you this would happen if it doesn't work out.
And there are situations where depth isn't it's not the biggest priority, but you know, like I mean,
once you get to the playoffs,
Golden State Warriors have won a bunch of titles with almost no depth. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're it's just their top seven guys.
They're so good, yeah.
But
and that's where Corey Kluber makes you like.
That's what I'm
need
saying.
A whole lot of depth.
Yeah, if you say okay, we got Corey Kluber now. Josh James is our fifth starter. Okay, yeah, because you throw. I mean, now you're throwing Kluber, Verlander, Cole, 1-2-3.
Oh man!
And let's say you take that squad to a you know, if Josh James develops and he's a great starter, cool. If not, you're probably still okay. Because you're going to win more of those three guys' starts than you lose, for sure.
You're in good shape.
You're in good shape. And you get to a playoff series, and those are your three
guys.
You're
in even better shape.
Yeah. Now, you know, you go into last year, two of your four starters that you used in the playoffs are gone.
Yeah.
That ain't good.
That's a step back.
And when McCullers, you never know if you're going to be able to count on him or not. So you're basically saying Verlander, Cole, and... We'll just see what happens. And that's not what teams who are, you know, in their window to win a World Series should be doing.
And both of those guys will be in their final year of the contract.
Yep. All right. I got to tell you about Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. The holiday special going on at Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for $100 plus a free speed dry. And they're doing it the right way. No soaps, no chemicals, and none of that stuff that's going to be no extra water left behind. 281 Dirt Free, go chemical free with Dirt Free. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts. They'll clean the inside of your car if that's what you want them to clean. You name it, they'll do it. 281 Dirt Free, tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5 with AJ. Get 3 rooms of carpet or tile clean for just $100. They'll take that system into your house. You point to the worst spot on your floor. They'll clean it. If you're not satisfied with how it looks, they'll just pack up and leave. It's as simple as that. 281 Dirt Free, 281-347-8373 for Dirt Free Carpet. I gotta get back to
Kenneth Disco. Never go back to the AM dial.
Your home for sports is only on FM.
With ESPN 97.5. 97.5.
and Sports Map 94.1.
Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on SportsMap 94.1.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
Well, we want to tell you about GiftingMap.com, your one-stop shop for holiday presents featuring everything from home decor to jewelry to luggage, briefcases, cufflinks. There's a great collection of brand and items to discover. Plus, you can enter to win a $500 gift card to the site and $100 each for three of your friends. That would be
that's a good
$500
deal.
Gift card for you and $100 to three made-up friends.
No, that is good.
Check it all out on giftingmap.com. That is pretty cool.
Yeah, not bad.
Instead of just giving it to you, they give you extra to share.
It's like when you go to those restaurants at Christmas time and they're like, if you buy $50 in gift cards, we'll give you an extra 10. I do that all the time because I know I'm going to eat there anyway. So I don't give that 10 bucks away, but I'll use that too.
That's just for your greed.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's $10 free food. Nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, man. Yeah. No, it threw me off. I did not know that Charlie Morton had signed somewhere else. He really and truly, as I said, I'm not even I can't even give a fair evaluation because I like him so much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just such a genuine guy. I see Robert Ford, who the play-by-play man for the Astros baseball, radio, says that whenever he talked to Morton that he would say, thanks for talking to me. And
right.
Every time. Every time I interviewed him, he treated like he was just appreciated that I took the time to talk to him. You know what I mean? Like, it's just, it was refreshing. And I'm not bothered by how athletes treat reporters in general. I mean, I don't care. You do how you do.
Right.
And I'll work with it. So it doesn't phrase, like when people were jumping up and down about Jadeveon Clowney the other day, not talking to media after that game. I don't care. If you talk.
Yeah.
If you don't, fine. I'll deal with it. But Charlie Morton was just, he was just so open. He'd go anywhere you wanted to go, answer any question. Just one of my favorite people. And he's only been around a couple of years. So it's not like we had a long-term relationship or anything. Just a really sharp dude. So
we were talking during the break, and, you know, McCullers, I was reminded that I totally forgot that he was done for the season for sure with Tommy John surgery. So he's out of the question. So now you've lost three of your five starters from last year's team,
and Dustin, the sources here makes a good point.
And the best you come back with is, well, we've got Colin McHugh.
Yeah, but now Dustin sources makes a good point on Twitter here that it was people were freaking out last year around this time, and then they went out and got Gerrit Cole, and that didn't come until later.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I'm definitely not one of those. I was on the other side of people. Why are y'all freaking out that no trade was made at the deadline 2 years ago? And then, a few weeks later, Justin Verlander was reeled in and the rest is history. So, yeah, no, I do think something's going to happen. But I'm saying as of today, if it ends up like it looks like it could, it'll be pretty easy to look back in hindsight and say, I can't believe you decided that would be the best route. And that's what we're saying. We're not saying they're not going to do anything. We're just saying, if that's the decision, that's quite likely going to be a poor decision.
Yeah.
Got to do better than that. 713-780-ESPN is the number, 713-780-3776.
But I think also people are forgetting that, it's not just Charlie Morton that's gone. It's Dallas Keuchel, too. And Dallas Keuchel, Dallas Keuchel was considered, let me pull it up. I want to say he was considered, at least by some places. Here's a list of the top free agents of the 2018 class. Mm-hmm. This is USA Today.
He's got to be top three.
Number one, Bryce Harper. Number two, Manny Machado. Number three, Patrick Corbin. Number four, Dallas Keuchel. Yeah.
Top three pitcher. I wasn't thinking overall.
Best starting pitcher.
Yeah.
The next guy is Nate Eovaldi. And by the way, Patrick Corbin signed. Nate Eovaldi signed. Mm-hmm. So he's the best available free agent pitcher on the market. We almost know for certain the Astros aren't going to have him back. So what's your option on replacing him? And you know, Dustin mentions the Gerrit Cole trade. That's what's presented itself with Corey Kluber.
Right. Yeah.
Like that scenario just popped
it's
up.
It's available. Yeah.
The problem is the Pirates were able, they were willing to take pennies on the dollar for their guy because the Pirates weren't a competitive team. And they were like, you know what? Let's just get something for it and start a rebuild. Whereas, I mean, the Indians
want a little more than that.
The Indians are in a position where, okay, you don't want to take our best player? Okay, we'll see you in the playoffs, I guess. I mean,
right.
This is an opportunity to sweep a table leg out from one of the better teams in the American League and solidify your team. What are we waiting for?
And that is kind of a good point on your thing, too, that you were saying it's not just Morton is leaving, but it's also Keuchel. But it's not just you playing by yourself in baseball either.
Right.
There are other teams involved.
No doubt.
With all of these moves. So you have to consider how you match up. But that is one thing, like I said, I give Crane and Luno credit for, that doesn't matter what's going on around the league, they know they're a contender.
Yeah.
I mean, they've built it to where they know they're a contender. They're not, man, if we don't do this, we can't contend. If we don't do that, we can't contend. Winning it all, some of
but
that is
you know what?
Luck of the draw. Best when the playoffs start. But
are you a contender if you're number your pitcher on the third game of the season is Josh James? Are you a contender?
2 years ago, they won the World Series. Who was their third pitcher in third game of the season then? It was a guy who wasn't going to win 10 games. It was McCullers.
Okay.
So things happen.
Yeah.
Things happen.
But they also, I mean, if they don't make the trade for Verlander, they never win a World Series.
Of course, but they did.
They did. That's what I'm saying. Everyone's like, just wait. I'm telling you, the opportunity's there to trade for that guy right now.
Do it.
He's there.
Just do it.
The Indians are like, hey, we want a top-tier outfield prospect. You can have our best player in exchange.
And you're like, do we have one of those?
Yeah, we got one. Let's do this thing. The Astros fan is like, oh, just trade Josh Reddick for Kluber. I'm sure that'll work. All right, I got to tell you about the six-year anniversary sale going on at Texas Star Grill Shop. Christmas is right around the corner. I've been assigned to cook a prime rib this Christmas, and I'm excited to do it on my smoker, my Pits and Spits smoker that I got at Texas Star Grill Shop. You go in. Listen, this is how cool this place is. You go in. They're going to hand you a beer when you walk in the door. A free beer. You can't beat that to start. That's going to get you in the holiday spirit, first of all. Then they're going to say, what do you like to cook? How often do you like to cook? How much effort are you wanting to put in? And they're going to point you in the direction of the grill that's right for you. I went with the Pits and Spits, the local Houston-made grills, really high quality, Texas-style heavy-duty construction, outstanding performance. They've also got Traeger, Saber, Kamado Joe, you name it, they've got them out there. And they are also a lot of leading outdoor kitchen brands like RCS, DCS, Blaze, Alfresco, and Twin Eagles all sold at discount prices. Stop in and see them during the 6th anniversary sale going on now. Free delivery and assembly located at 59 and Shepherd in Houston or 8905 Luetta in Spring in the Champions area. That's TexasStarGrillShop.com.
Check it. Come experience what 25 years of perfection tastes like at Saltgrass Steakhouse. Proud sponsors of the ESPN 97.5 app. Download it today.